Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. And in local business headlines, Mexican restaurant opens in Dubuque, Schulzberg Decor Store under new ownership. Dubuque Vet relocates, expands. This column is by Grace Nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Dubuque and Schulzberg, Wisconsin. Owner Rachel Nixon is hoping to go 2 for 2 this spring with the recent opening of her new Mexican restaurant in Dubuque. Lalo's 2 Mexican Bar and Grill opened last week at 1091 University Avenue. The restaurant serves a variety of Mexican cuisine and is opening following the success of the first Lalo's location operating in Wyoming, Iowa. "We want people to feel really comfortable and welcomed here," Nixon said. "That's something we see in our other location that we want to bring here too." The Wyoming location has been in operation since 2021. Dubuque seemed far enough away to reach a new customer base, Nixon said, while also being close enough for dual management. "The restaurant opened last week and staff now are settled and ready to serve the broader Dubuque area," Nixon said. "The first experience is always important, so we wanted to make sure it was a good one for customers," she said. "Overall, though, week one went really well, and from what I can see online, it seems like some people are already talking about it." Lalo's 2 is open for lunch and dinner with an expansive menu of authentic Mexican dishes, including flautas, enchiladas, choripollo, and more. Its offering include lunch and dinner specials, as well as an all-day menu of classic dishes and desserts. Each order is prepared from scratch, allowing for a diverse menu that is easily customized upon request, Nixon said. "We want everything fresh from scratch, so if a customer wants something done a little bit differently or wants to add a certain ingredient, we're more than happy to do it," she said. "We want everyone to enjoy the food the way they want it." The restaurant is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Additional information about the restaurant is available online. Southwest Wisconsin Decor Store under new ownership. A well-known Schulzberg, Wisconsin home decor store is now under new ownership. Jenny Jacobson recently acquired Kingsley Crossing at 236 West Water Street following the retirement of former owner Sandy Russell. The store sells a variety of home decor items and has an attached floral design studio. "Sandy posted about the business being for sale on a Friday, and I called the next Monday to buy it, and here we are," Jacobson said. "I just couldn't see this beautiful building close up and be empty." Jacobson said much of the store's merchandise will remain the same, allowing customers to find the same high-quality products for which the store is known. The floral design studio also will remain open for customer arrangements. "The space is changing somewhat, however, with the expansion and relocation of Brooke Rose Designs, a Schulzberg-based boutique run by Jacobson's daughter, Brooke Heinberg. Heinberg previously opened her business at 250 West Water Street. "The two businesses will share the Kingsley Crossing storefront," Jacobson said, "allowing customers to peruse and purchase merchandise from both stores in one spot. We knew she was looking for something bigger, so when this space came up for sale, we decided to move her into this building with us," Jacobson said. "We moved everything over already, so we opened this weekend." Jacobson also plans to reopen the bar that currently sits idle in the store's basement. The plan eventually is to offer a limited food and drink menu, though she estimates will take a few months to renovate the space appropriately. Kingsley Crossing and the newly relocated Brooke Rose Designs both are open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday. Additional information is available online at the Kingsley Crossing Schulzberg Facebook page. Dubuque Vet Clinic opens in expanded location. Veterinarian Katie Merkus strives to treat all animals that come through the doors of the Good Life Integrative Veterinary Care as if they were her own. "We really pride ourselves on having personal connections with our clients and their dogs and treating the animals like an extension of our family," she said. "They might not live with us in our houses, but this building really is sort of extension of my home. And that home just got a lot bigger." Good Life last week opened its new clinic at 198 Cedar Cross Road in Dubuque. The 5,000 square foot building is double the size of the clinic's previous location on Hillcrest Road and is equipped with several treatment rooms, a rehabilitation space, and an expanded canine fitness center. The office offers both traditional and holistic veterinary care to treat a wide variety of ailments in dogs and cats, Marka said. She also offers in-home euthanasia services. Some of the clinic's more holistic treatment options include animal acupuncture, chiropractic care, and laser therapy. Those practices could be done independently or in conjunction with more traditional treatment options, Marka said. Unfortunately, you do run into cases where you run out of traditional medicines or run out of options, Marka said. Being able to add in integrative therapies in those instances can literally be life savings. Marka first opened the practice as River Valley Veterinary Services in 2014 and operated as Mobile Clinic. She later rebranded to Good Life Integrative Veterinary Care and opened her first brick-and-mortar location on Hillcrest Road in 2021. Demand continued to grow, Marka said, and it was clear additional space was needed to keep pace with the clinic's growing clientele, particularly for the clinic's rehabilitation and canine fitness services. Canine fitness is a good option for healthy dogs that want to stay that way, Marka said. They come here and have something fun to do for the day. It's a lot of individual attention for the dogs, as well as some strength training and core engagement. The new location has expanded capacity to meet those needs, she said, allowing the clinic to add a second underwater treadmill and expand the area used for canine fitness. A part-time dog groomer also has joined the team. Good Life Integrative Veterinary Care is open by appointment from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The clinic can be reached at 563-590-0145 or by going online at goodlifevetdbq.com. Business tip sought. Do you have an interesting story idea or news tips to share about a local business? Ideas can be shared with business reporter Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com or by calling her at 563-588-5647. Dubuque Airport to host TSA PreCheck enrollments. The Transportation Security Administration will hold a week-long event for TSA PreCheck May 20th, 24th at Dubuque Regional Airport. Enrollments will be held at Airline Ticket Office Number 2, according to a press release. TSA PreCheck is an expedited screening program that allows airline passengers to leave on their shoes, light outerwear, and belts in designated screening lanes. These passengers can also keep their laptop in its case in compliant liquids or gels bag in a carry-on bag. There is a $78 enrollment fee, which covers a five-year membership. Appointments are available from 9 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. It can be made online at identtogo.com/precheck. Cascade officials approve three debt-related resolutions. Dateline Cascade, Iowa. Cascade City Council recently approved three debt-related resolutions to finance construction projects. That allows the city to borrow money tax-exempt in bonds through a financial advisor. The first resolution approved a $200,000 loan agreement with Dubuque County to help pay for the library project at 1% interest. The second resolution was a sale of $1.3 million in bonds to be paid back over the next 15 years. Interest for the first 5 years will be 3.4%, the second at 3.6%, and third at 4.1%. The city will receive the bond money May 7th. The third debt resolution updated debt disclosure policies. Of all the debt taken, $665,000 is for the Highway 136 project, paying for water, storm sewer, and the small portion of street construction the city has to pay for. The final amount is for refinancing, $105,000 for the city street sweeper at a lower interest rate than the city's prior financing. Of the new debt, $1 million to finance library construction. In addition to the newly approved $200,000 from Dubuque County, $250,000 was approved last December from CECO, the city's electric consortium, and the final $550,000 was borrowed from GEO Debt on the Market. Galena Group plans electronics recycling event to mark Earth Month. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Electronics recycling and paper shredding event will help mark Earth Month in Galena. The event will be held from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Friday, April 19th, in the parking lot at Galena City Hall, 101 Green Street, according to an online announcement. The event is one of several held by the Galena Green Team during the month of April. Earth Day is Monday, April 22nd. Call 815-777-1050 or visit galenagreenteamblog.wordpress.com for more information. Dementia's Info Session to be held in Dyersville, Dateline Dyersville, Iowa. Area residents looking to learn more about dementia can attend an informational session in May to find out more about the disease. Dementia Friendly Iowa is hosting a free info session at 10:30 a.m. on May 28th at Dyersville Social Center, 625 3rd Avenue Southeast, Dyersville, according to a news release. The session will teach attendees about the basics of dementia, how it affects people, and how to best communicate with and support someone with dementia. Anyone with questions can contact Colleen Lawler at 563-277-6016. Food Drive Saturday for WD Pantry, Dateline Epworth, Iowa. A food drive will be held this weekend for Western Dubuque Community School District's Bobcat Den Food Pantry. The drive will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, April 20th at Silker's, 101 West Main Street. Items needed include granola bars, cereal, ready-to-eat meals, pasta, cheese crackers, and trail mix. Cash donations will also be accepted. The food drive is sponsored by the Western Dubuque High School FFA and Lions Club. Free family event scheduled for April 23rd in Manchester, Dateline Manchester, Iowa. A parent education program will host a free event for families next week in Manchester. Regional Medical Center's Parents as Teachers program will hold a Let's Go Fly a Kite and Parent Resource Night from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 23rd at West Delaware Middle School, 1101 Doctor Street, according to an online announcement. Kites will be provided. Participants may also use their own kites. A sack dinner will be provided. Participants should bring a blanket for a picnic. The rain date will be April 29th. Veterans Appreciation Drive through dinner set for April 24th. In Manchester, Dateline Manchester, Iowa, Delaware County Veterans Affairs is hosting its annual appreciation dinner next week. The drive-through event is free for veterans and families and will be held from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. April 24th outside the Delaware County Veterans Affairs Office, 601 Grand Street. Call 563-927-5116 for more information. Two Delaware County organizations relocated to Manchester, Iowa. A pair of Delaware County organizations are relocating. Delaware County Economic Development Commission and Delaware County Tourism will move to 223 West Main Street in Manchester effective May 6th. The two organizations have been located at 200 East Main Street. Donna Boss, Executive Director of the Commission, stated in a letter announcing the move that the new space will, quote, offer enhanced development opportunities and visibility to visitors that will enable us to better serve and partner with our community, investors, and visitors. Intersex Advocate to give presentation at UWP. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. A presentation at University of Wisconsin Platteville will feature an intersex advocate discussing their work, shedding light on human rights violations endured by intersex people. Pigeon Pagonis's free presentation will be held at 7 p.m. April 23rd on the UWP campus in the Harry and Laura Knorr Gallery, number 30 South Hickory Street. Pagonis is the founder of the Intersex Justice Project and has worked for over a decade as an accomplished advocate for other intersex people, according to a news release. The first 50 people in attendance at the presentation will be given a free copy of Pagonis' memoir, Nobody Needs to Know. People who are intersex have reproductive or sexual anatomy that does not fit into an exclusively male or female classification, according to the news release. Pagonis hopes to help stop non-sexual consensual procedures done to intersex people. For disability accommodations, call 608-342-1660 or email schoolbusiness@uwplatt.edu. Joe Davis County event to highlight upcoming cicada emergence. Dateline Warren, Illinois. A free event from Joe Davis County University of Illinois Extension Office will provide information about the expected local emergence of two separate broods of cicadas. Jay Solomon at Illinois Extension, Natural Resources, Environment, and Energy Educator, will present Cicadas 2024, a once-in-a-lifetime experience at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 23rd at Warren Township Public Library, 210 Burnett Avenue. Solomon will discuss the life cycle of cicadas, what to expect in the tri-state area, and why the emergence of two broods is a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence for most people. Registration is requested by calling 815-858-2273 or by visiting online go.illinois.edu/jsw. Styrofoam Recycling Collection Day planned in Maquoketa, Dateland, Maquoketa, Iowa. Area residents can drop off styrofoam for recycling in an upcoming one-day collection event in Maquoketa. The event will take place from 8 a.m. to noon, May 18th at Horseshoe Pond Park in Maquoketa, according to an online announcement. It is sponsored by Friends of Jackson County Conservation in conjunction with Maquoketa's citywide cleanup day. Clean white styrofoam will be accepted. No printing tape, labels, or colored styrofoam will be accepted, and styrofoam should not be dropped off at the Hurstville Interpretive Center, the announcement states. Man sentenced to probation for role in assault on Dubuque bouncer. A Dubuque County man has been sentenced to 2 to 5 years of probation for assaulting a bouncer at a local bar. Dante R. Bartman, 22, of Dyersville, recently received the sentence in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after pleading guilty to one count of willful injury causing bodily injury. If he violates the terms of his probation, Bartman faces up to 5 years in prison. Bartman previously was charged with willful injury causing serious injury but pleaded guilty to the lesser included charge. Per a plea deal approved by Iowa District Court Judge Monica Serenyi Ackley, a charge of possession of marijuana was dismissed. As part of his sentence, Bartman must live in a residential treatment facility for 1 year or until maximum benefits have been reached. Court documents state that Bartman was one of two men to assault James E. Finn, 21, a bouncer at Mason Dixon Saloon, on January 14th in the basement of the bar. Finn was transported to the hospital for treatment of a laceration below his right eyebrow and a swollen right eye. Documents state surveillance footage shows Finn approaching Bartman and directing him away from the bar in the basement when Bartman begins to punch him repeatedly. Documents state the second man, identified as Elijah J. Boyd, 22 of Dubuque, is seen on the footage assisting in the assault. Boyd is charged in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County with willful injury, causing serious injury, and his case is ongoing. Here's a look at local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Alonzo L. Williams, 21, of Milwaukee, was arrested at 10:49 a.m. Sunday at Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on charges of a person ineligible to carry a dangerous weapon and possession of marijuana. David E. Bessinius, 56, of 2764 Balky Street, was arrested at 10:22 a.m. Sunday at his residence on charges of assault on persons in certain occupations and reckless use of fire. Court documents state that Bessinius assaulted a Dubuque Police Department officer. Timothy A. Klecker, 62, of 983 Oxford Street, was arrested at 8:31 Sunday at his residence on charges of possession of methamphetamine, possession of marijuana, unlawful possession of a prescription drug, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Dubuque City Council approves 5-year street construction plan. The following notable action was taken by the Dubuque City Council on Monday. 5-year street construction program plan action. Dubuque City Council members voted 7-0 to approve the 5-year street construction plan for fiscal years 2025 through 2029. Background: this planning document includes street construction work for the next fiscal year and subsequent 4 fiscal years, including estimated costs. In fiscal year 2025, 5 projects totaling a little over $6 million are on the docket. These projects include concrete street repair at multiple locations for $700,000, street constructions of South Heacock Road from Chavanel Road to Pennsylvania Avenue for $4.6 million, with a state grant of $1.8 million, design of the 14th Street Overpass Bridge for $100,000, Auburn and Custer Streets repaving project for $500,000, and design of the Wildwood Drive bridge replacement for $100,000. What's next? Highlights of future fiscal years include the 14th Street Overpass Bridge construction slated to begin in fiscal year 2026 with $33.2 million estimated for that year. The project is contingent on the award of a $31.5 million federal grant and spans the length of the five-year plan. In fiscal year 2027, the 7th Street extension of Pine Street is planned for $400,000. In fiscal year 2028, Northwest Arterial / U.S. 20 intersection improvements are set to begin for $2.1 million in that year. It is an Iowa Department of Transportation project that uses federal funding. Sustainable Dubuque Community Grants Action. Council members voted 7-0 to approve grants to 6 organizations and 1 individual based on the recommendations of the Resilient Community Advisory Commission totaling $15,000. Background. In 2013, the City Council implemented the grant program to aid the city's Sustainable Dubuque Initiative. The projects must address at least one of the city's 12 sustainability principles, include community engagement or education, and align with an existing city plan. This is 29th round of funding. What's next? The following projects will receive funding. Dubuque Trees Forever for its community orchard, $2,500. Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dubuque for a sustainable garden for $1,770. St. Mark Youth Enrichment for its Apples for Students program, $2,500. Jessica Paisley for Eco Fashion Community Event, $2,500. Mississippi River Revival DBQ Incorporated for the Midweek Market, $2,500. Revolution Farms for Weed Management and Prior Enhancement, $1,910. And Grand River Center Oak View Group for a microgreen system, $1,370. Amend parking requirements in Jackson Park Cathedral Historic Districts. Action. Council members voted 7-0 to amend City Code to remove the off-street parking requirements for properties located in Jackson Park and Cathedral Historic Districts. The change is designed to help preserve historic neighborhood structures and sites in those districts. Many properties within the Jackson Park and Cathedral Historic Districts are legally non-conforming with respect to parking. If property owners seek to make improvements to their property that would increase their required parking, this amendment would provide relief from that additional off-street parking requirement. In the past 20 years, the Zoning Board of Adjustment has reviewed 18 parking variance requests for properties located in the Jackson Park and Cathedral Historic Districts. The Zoning Advisory Commission voted 5-0 to recommend that the City Council approve the amendment. What's next? Property owners in the two historic districts no longer will have to meet off-street parking requirements before reinvesting in their properties. Ask the TH, what would happen if a barge hit the Julian Dubuque Bridge? The story is by Michelle London, michelle.london at thmedia.com. Question, with the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, I'm wondering what the inspection process is for the Julian Dubuque Bridge and other Mississippi River bridges. How often are they inspected? And what would be the response protocol if a barge did strike a bridge along the river? Answer, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, a continuous truss bridge that spanned the Patapsco River in Baltimore, collapsed on March 26 when a container ship hit one of its piers. Built between 1972 and 1976, the bridge opened in 1977. It was constructed before the introduction of redundant support structures, and the National Transportation Safety Board issued a statement that if the Key Bridge had a redundancy protection installed, the collapse would have been prevented. Scott Neubauer, a maintenance and inspection engineer with the Iowa Department of Transportation's Bridge and Structures Bureau, said it's rare to see bridges slamming into barges along the Mississippi River, and bridge structural damage resulting from such events is even rarer. A barge hitting one of our bridges and actually causing it to collapse would be something extremely unusual, he said. There are occasions when runaway barges get out of the channel and into the river, but our bridges are designed for barge loading. We've had barges hit bridges before, and it's not anything significant. We have a fenring system that keeps them from making it to the piers. For some bridges, the fenring system includes dolphins, which in a structural engineer's vernacular means massive concrete structures that are upstream from the bridge. If a barge should lose control, it would hit one of those dolphins before it would hit the bridge, Neubauer said. That's another way that we protect the bridges. The Julian Dubuque Brit did have an accidental run-in with the barge on June 9, 2008, when the lead barge of 15 barge tow hit the bridge. The bridge was closed for about 18 hours while inspections were conducted and no damage was found. Inspections are conducted at least every 2 years on Iowa bridges, Neubauer said. We'll inspect more than that if we think there's an issue, he said. Underwater inspections are required every 5 to 6 years along Mississippi River bridges. We do have divers who do those types of inspections. A traffic management center monitors the bridges for the Iowa DOT. If an incident occurs involving a bridge, Neubauer gets a call immediately. I'm notified by the center and told what's going on, he said. Then we follow up as needed. Neubauer said all the bridges in Iowa are important to maintain, but those that span the Mississippi and Missouri rivers receive particular attention. Those are major structures over those rivers, he said. We probably go a little above and beyond because they're such large structures. We take special care of those bridges. Do you need an answer? Submit a question to telegraphherald.com/site/form/askTH via email. And you can, or you may send an email to michelle.london@thmedia.com, or you can call her at 563-588-5655. Police say one taken to hospital following two-vehicle crash in Dubuque. Police said one person was taken to a hospital following a two-vehicle crash in Dubuque. Tabitha L. Bond, 39, of Dubuque, was transported by ambulance to Mercy One Medical Center for treatment of her injuries, according to Dubuque police. Police reported that Bond was traveling east on Mineral Street at the intersection with Finley Street at 3:35 p.m. Saturday, when a vehicle driven south on Finley by Carol L. Simon, 79, of Dubuque, failed to yield at a stop sign and entered the intersection, colliding with Bond's vehicle. Simon was cited with failure to obey a stop or yield sign. Bond was cited with failure to provide proof of financial liability. Police say Dubuque crash injures motorcyclist. Police said one person was injured in a motorcycle crash in Dubuque. Matthew D. Wilson, 36, of Dubuque, reported injuries to his face, hands, and feet, but was not transported to a hospital, according to Dubuque police. Police reported Wilson was driving a motorcycle north on Peru Road at 7:46 p.m. Saturday when a vehicle driven by Kyle D. Zertman, 20, of Dubuque, pulled into Peru from Salem Street, causing Wilson to brake and lose control of the motorcycle. Zertman was cited with failure to obey a stop or yield sign. Motorcyclist injured in Dubuque crash. Police said a motorcyclist was injured in a crash in Dubuque. Benjamin M. McDonald, 25, of Hepworth, Iowa, was transported by private vehicle to Mercy One Medical Center for treatment of his injuries, according to Dubuque police. Police reported that McDonald was traveling east in the 1900 block of West 32nd Street at 6:19 p.m. Sunday when he lost control of his motorcycle. He was cited with failure to maintain control. Volunteers sought for a financial literacy event in southwest Wisconsin. Dateline Fenimore, Wisconsin. Volunteers are sought for an event that will help teach financial literacy to area high school students. The Southwest Wisconsin Interactive Financial Literacy Event will be held April 24th at Southwest Wisconsin Technical College's Lens Center, 1800 Bronson Boulevard, Fenimore, according to an online announcement. Volunteers are needed to help more than 400 area high school students learn money management skills. Available shifts are from 8 to 11:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. No training is necessary, and all materials will be provided. Register to volunteer online at tinyurl.com/swfinliteracy. Elizabeth Village President resigns after being appointed to County Board. Deadline Elizabeth, Illinois. The Village of Elizabeth needs a new Village President. Michael Dittmar, who had served in the role for the past 15 years, submitted his resignation earlier this month, according to an online announcement from the Village. Dittmar won the March primary election for the District 13 Joe Davis County Board seat. No Democrats filed for the seat. Following that victory, he was appointed to the seat, which was vacant, and he will run to retain the seat in November's general election. You are listening to a reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 16, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Linda S. Ludovici, North Buena Vista, Iowa. Linda S. Ludovici, 56, of North Buena Vista, Iowa, passed away Wednesday, April 10th, at Guttenberg Municipal Hospital in Guttenberg, Iowa. Linda was known to many as a light that never dimmed. She would bring laughter and love everywhere she went. She spent her summers living her dream at Pirate's Pit Stop, soaking up the sun while enjoying time with customers that were like family. She had an expert green thumb, never turned down an invite to a themed event, and could always find the perfect gift. She loved spending time with her grandchildren and accomplishing projects with her husband, James. Linda worked at Flex Steel as a seamstress for 20 years. She received her associate degree in surgical technician and used her skills at Mercy Hospital, Dubuque, and Guttenberg Hospital for 12 years. She also served as an EMT for Holy Cross North Buena Vista Fire Department for over 15 years. She and James have operated L&L Campground since 1998 and accomplished their dream by taking ownership of the Pirates Pit Stop Marina in 2017. She lived her life to the fullest and will be greatly missed by many. As she was taken soon from us, we know that she will send us signs that she is watching over us often. Linda was born May 18, 1967, in Guttenberg, the daughter of Donald and Carol Leben Eartham. She was married to James Ludovici on August 17, 1985, in North Buena Vista. Survivors include her husband, James, children, Joshua Megan Ludovici of Sand Springs, Emily Dustin Wilwert of North Buena Vista, grandchildren, and other relatives and in-laws. She was preceded in death by her parents and in-laws, Celestine Ivanel and Kathy Ludovici. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m., Wednesday at Immaculate Conception Hall in North Buena Vista, Iowa. Visitation will continue from noon to 12:45 p.m. at the hall prior to the funeral mass. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, April 18th at the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church with burial in the church cemetery. Reverend Marvin Bryce will officiate. Kramer Funeral Home at Holy Cross is assisting the family, and information is available at www.kramerfuneral.com. Memorials may be sent to the family. Care of Kramer Funeral Home at 750 12th Avenue Southwest, Dyersville, Iowa 52040. Michael J. Laufenberg, Dateline Montfort, Wisconsin. Michael J. Laufenberg, 76, of Montfort, died Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Visitation will be from 9 to 11:30 a.m. today at Montfort United Methodist Church, where services will follow. Soman Larson Funeral Home of Montfort is assisting the family. Robert J. Schoenhoff, Dateline Hazel Green, Wisconsin. Robert Bob J. Schoenhoff, 85, of Hazel Green, died Saturday, April 13th. Visitation will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 17th at Howden Shield Funeral Home Crematory in Cuba City, and from 9:30 to 10:45 a.m. Thursday, April 18th at St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church in Hazel Green, where a massive Christian burial will follow. Burial will follow in St. Joseph's Church Cemetery in Cincinnati. James R. Holman, Dateline Galena, Illinois. James R. Holman, 73, of Galena, died Sunday, April 14. Services will be at noon Friday, April 19th at Furlong Funeral Chapel in Galena. Daniel C. Prognar, Dateline Asbury, Iowa. Donald Don C. Prognar, 81, of Asbury, died Sunday, April 14th. Visitation will be from 10 to 10 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, April 20th at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, where a massive Christian burial will follow. Interment will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery, Eaglehoff Siegert and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory of Dubuque is assisting the family. Michael J. Laufenberg, Dateline Montfort, Wisconsin. Michael J. Laufenberg, 76, of Montfort, died Thursday, April 11th. Visitation will be from 9 to 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, April 16th at Montfort United Methodist Church, where services will follow. Soman Larson Funeral Home of Montfort is assisting the family. Eugene C. Kutch. Father Eugene C. Kutch, 96, of Dubuque, died Wednesday, April 10th at Stonehill Care Center in Dubuque. A scripture wake service will be held at 3 p.m. Tuesday, April 16th at Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, followed by visitation until 7 p.m. Massive Christian burial will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 17th at St. Anthony Catholic Church, celebrated by Archbishop Thomas Inkle and priests of the Archdiocese of Dubuque. Burial will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery. Father Eugene, the son of Clarence and Irene Nierling Kutch, was born in Dubuque on September 11, 1927. He was educated at St. Mary's Dubuque, Loras Academy, and Loras College following the completion of his seminary formation at the Theological College of the Catholic University in Washington, D.C. He was ordained a priest by Archbishop Leo Binns in Christ the King Chapel, June 2, 1951. Father Kutch served in the following assignments. He served at St. Boniface Nuvana, faculty member at Loras Academy, Dean of Men Loras College, pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Church, Fayette, and St. Francis Xavier and other churches in the diocese. Upon his retirement in 1999, he assisted in sacramental ministry in several Dubuque parishes for a number of years. During his active years as a priest, he served on a number of archdiocesan boards, councils, and committees. He was also a member of the board of directors and assisted with fundraising for the Advocated Welfare Answering Service from 1974 through 1989. He was a co-founder of the Iowa Community Organization Development that resulted in Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. He was also president in 1991 of Dubuque Area Christians United. In his retirement, he served for several more years on the board of directors of Stonehill Franciscan Services, Dubuque Food Pantry, and Steeple Square. He is survived by a brother, Charles of Dubuque, brother-in-law, Al Breitbach, and 20 nieces and nephews. In addition to his parents, he was seen in death by other relatives. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to Catholic Charities, the Dubuque Food Pantry, Hospice of Dubuque, or Stonehill Care Center. Condolences may be sent to the family by visiting Father Gene's obituary at www.hskfhcares.com. Mary Jeanette McCarthy. Sister Mary Jeanette McCarthy, PBVM, formerly Sister Mary Donald, 85, died Monday, April 8th at the Sisters of Presentation, Mount Loretto, 2360 Carter Road. On Monday, April 15th, 2024, friends may visit from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at the chapel. The burial followed at Mount Olivet Cemetery. Here's information on area funeral services. Kenneth J. Bakey, Dubuque, visitation 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, April 20th, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Service noon Saturday at the funeral home. Wayne A. Bauer, Dubuque, visitation 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. today, Holy Cross Catholic Church. Service 10:30 a.m. today at the church. Grace M. Drosler, Bernard, Iowa. Wake service 3:30 p.m. today at Rye Funeral Home, Cascade. Visitation 4 to 8 p.m. today and from 9 to 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 16th at the funeral home. Benjamin M. Duggan, Maquoketa, Iowa. Service 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday, April 20th at the American Legion Hall, 1306 Delhi Street. Millard R. Engelkins, Dubuque. Visitation 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. today, Saturday, April 20th. St. Joseph the Worker Catholic Church, service 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the church. Anna Mae Flamang, Shakopee, Minnesota, visitation 9 to 11 a.m. today, St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Key West. Service 11 a.m. today at the church. Lois L. Fortman, Manchester, Iowa, Mass for Christian Burial, 10:30 a.m. today, St. John's Catholic Church, Delhi. Connie L. Gopert, Wilton, Iowa, Celebration of Life, 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, April 19th, Bellevue State Park Lodge. Carol J. Cruiser, Potosi, Wisconsin, Celebration of Life, 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, May 10th, Holiday Gardens, Potosi. Eugene C. Kutch, Dubuque, Scripture Walk Wake Service, 3 p.m., followed by visitation until 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 16th. Hoffman Steiner Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road, Mass for Christian Burial, 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 17th, St. Anthony Catholic Church. Linda S. Ludovici, North Buena Vista, Iowa, visitation 3 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 17th, Immaculate Conception Parish Hall, North Buena Vista. Service 1 p.m. Thursday, April 18th at the church. Mary Jeanette McCarthy, Dubuque, visitation 9:30 to 11 a.m. today, Sacred Heart, Sisters of the Presentation, Blessed Virgin Mary, service 11 a.m. today at the chapel. Martin A. Pitts, Walton, Iowa, visitation 3 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 18th, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, service 7 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Gloria J. Pline, Dubuque, Parish Scripture Service, 3:45 p.m. today, Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. today at the funeral home. Service, 10 a.m. Tuesday, April 16th, Sacred Heart Catholic Church. Linda M. Rice, Bellevue, Iowa. Visitation, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. today at St. John Lutheran Church. Bellevue, service, 11:30 a.m. today at the church. Teresa Townsend, Galena, Illinois. Visitation, 10 a.m. to noon today, St. Mary Catholic Church, Galena. Service, noon today at the church. Mary J. Wepking, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 16th, Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Lancaster. Service, 11 a.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Dean Worker, Garnavillo, Iowa. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. Friday, April 19th, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Garnavillo. Service, 11 a.m. Friday at the church. Looking at other area news, Galena Group plans electronic recycling event to mark Earth Month. Dateline Galena, Illinois, an electronics recycling and paper shredding event will help mark Earth Month in Galena. The event will be held from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Friday, April 19th in the parking lot at Galena City Hall, 101 Green Street, according to an online announcement. The event is one of several held by the Galena Green Team during the month of April. Earth Day is Monday, April 22nd. Call 815-777-1050 for more information, or you can visit Galena Green Team blog at wordpress.com for more information. Food Drive Saturday for WD Pantry. Update line at Porth, Iowa. A food drive will be held this weekend for Western Dubuque Community School District's Bobcat Den Food Pantry. The drive will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, April 20th at Silkers, 101 West Main Street. Items needed include granola bars, cereal, ready-to-eat meals, pasta, cheese crackers, and trail mix. Cash donations will also be accepted. The food drive is sponsored by the Western Dubuque High School FFA and Lions Club. Love That Lasts. Piazza couple make sure it's a 50-50 for nearly 65 years of marriage. Jim and Donna Wider married at Annunciation Catholic Church in Latnerville on April 30th, 1959. Story by Michelle London. Michelle.London at teachmedia.com. Dateline Piazza, Iowa. Jim Wider grew up as the oldest boy of 13 children on a farm near Piazza and often spent his free time hunting with his friends, including the older brothers of then Donna Moss. "Donna would chum around with us," said Jim, now 85. "I had my eye on her, and I thought there was a possibility." Donna grew up in Graff as one of 8 children and would often follow her brothers and Jim on their outdoor adventures. Jim was a senior at Piazza High School, and Donna was a freshman, but it wasn't until Jim had graduated and Donna was a sophomore that he asked her out. "She didn't say no," Jim said, "so I thought I might have a chance." The now Donna Wider was a bit surprised, but Jim was right. She didn't turn him down. "I don't think I really knew he liked me," said Donna, now 82, "but he was nice. That first date was probably a drive-in movie or something like that." The couple often dated with other couples in their social group, going to movies or to dances at Melody Mill. Neither Jim nor Donna remember a formal proposal, but the engagement came after Donna graduated from high school in 1958. They married at Annunciation Catholic Church in Latnerville on April 30th, 1959. The two will celebrate their 65th anniversary in a few weeks. They have 3 daughters, Doris Weidert, Susan Kedley, and Lynn Stelkin. They have 7 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. Another great-grandchild is due in July. They didn't immediately go on a honeymoon, but moved into a one-bedroom apartment in Graff. He was working at John Deere Dubuque Works, and Donna stayed home to manage the house. That summer, they took a short honeymoon to Chicago to see the Cubs play and visit Donna's uncle. In 1966, Jim and Donna moved to their first Piazza home. The town had a population of 120 people at the time. In 1977, the couple built a house not too far away from the first one and have lived there ever since. Jim was attracted to Donna's work ethic and smarts. "She was a go-getter," he said. "She was a hard worker and she was on top of everything." Donna isn't sure what first attracted her to Jim, but she knew she liked him. "I don't know what it was. We always had a good time together. We would go out every weekend with friends. We had fun." To During a couple of John Deere layoffs, Donna found work at Flexsteel Industries Incorporated. Once the girls were all in school, she went to work full-time there, eventually found a job closer to home in Piazza with Northeast Iowa Community College, where she remained for 25 years, retiring in 2004. Jim was a production worker during his 38-year career at John Deere, retiring in 1996. He also served on the Piazza City Council for 13 years and then served as the city's mayor from 1979 to 2009. He also played Prairie League baseball for years and was inducted into the Butte County Baseball Hall of Fame in 2004. The couple's youngest daughter, Lynn of Bankston, Iowa, remembers a house filled with warmth and love. "Our best memory is the holidays," she said. "Mom's a great cook. That was special. It was just a church edition full-course meal. No shortcuts." Serving as Piazza's mayor during a period of growth for the town, which had a population of just under 22,000 in the 2020 census, Jim enjoyed working with businesses and residents and promoting the growth and image of the town. "I really enjoyed people. If somebody had a problem, I wanted to go right to them and talk to them about it and help it get it solved. I enjoyed working with businessmen like MyTM Corp founder A.J. Spiegel with some of the development of the town. Now he enjoys time on the golf course and in the garden. I like golf, feeding the birds and squirrels," he said. Donna enjoys working in the yard too, and Lynn said her parents have a garden at the home in Bankston. "They come out at our place and plant a garden, and they can everything together. They also play golf together." Donna plays 18 holes every Monday with a group of friends, and she enjoys bowling, though a shoulder injury has kept her off the lanes lately. "But she still gets out there and golfs every week," Lynn said. Donna and Jim are members of St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Piazza. While the two have enjoyed some traveling in the past to places such as Branson, Missouri, Arizona, and Florida, they really like being home, taking short jaunts to visit family in Des Moines or Minnesota, or having family come to visit them. "They love the grandkids and those great-grandkids," Lynn said. "They've been great as parents. We are truly blessed. Parents are the most precious gifts. Everybody gets them, but not everybody has them, and certainly not for as long as we have had them." Donna said the secret to their marriage has been the ability to give and take. "There's a lot of that, and we just get along. We talk things over." Jim said it's a 50-50 rule. "It's very simple. You do stuff together, and you do stuff separate. When we first got married," she said, "I'll make the little decisions and make the big ones. Well, after 65 years, I never made a decision." Lynn and her sisters are looking forward to celebrating their parents' 65th wedding anniversary with a nice dinner out and perhaps some reminiscing. "Very rarely did we ever see them kiss in front of us," she said. "That's just how they were, but they truly have been a great example of true love." Knowing the long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who have been married for at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in the series, contact reporter Michelle London at 563-588-5655 or michelle.london@thmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. In area news, authorities say intoxicated driver crashes into Dubuque County, Grant County duplex. Deadline, Muskogee, Wisconsin. Authorities said an intoxicated driver crashed into a neighbor's car before driving into a duplex in southwest Wisconsin. Patricia Smith, 59, of Muskogee, was arrested on the charge of operating while intoxicated, according to the Grant County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that the Sheriff's Department received a report at approximately 2:20 a.m. Sunday of a two-vehicle crash on Broadway Street in Muskogee. An investigation determined that Smith crashed into a neighbor's vehicle, then proceeded into a garage door of the duplex, the release states. Smith's vehicle then crashed into Smith's living room. Grant County Sheriff Nate Dreckman wrote in a report that there were no injuries. Dreckman wrote in this email to the Telegraph Herald that he did not have a monetary estimate of damage done to the duplex. The release states that Smith was transported to the Gunderson-Muskogee Area Hospital where her blood was drawn. Smith was then transported to the Grant County Jail. The release states that authorities are still investigating the incident. Worthington issues boil order due to loss of water pressure. Dateline Worthington, Iowa. City officials have issued a boil order for Worthington due to a problem with the municipal water distribution system. An online announcement states that Worthington's water system lost pressure Sunday. The boil order was issued due to potential for bacterial contamination. Boiled or bottled water should be used for drinking, making ice, brushing teeth, or food preparation until further notice, the announcement states. The system is being repaired and repressurized, and bacterial samples will be collected. Call Daniel Pike, water operator, at 319-480-3203 for more information. Here's a feature story by Mike Putz of the Cascade Pioneer. Welcome to Bob's Bar. Cascade man knows a thing or two about scotch. Dateline Cascade, Iowa. Some people collect baseball cards, vintage cars, or comic books. Cascade native Bob Nyers may have them all beat with his collection of scotch. The collection, which began in the early 1990s, now stands at 553 bottles, according to Nyers' best guess. Most of the bottles are single malt scotch, with some bottles of blended scotch included. It's a collection that began in Minnesota and moved several places with Nyers before ending up in Cascade when Nyers and his wife, LaVon Mon, moved to town a year ago. We never dropped or broke a bottle on all those moves, Nyers shared. The collection takes up the basement of the couple's home, which Nyers refers to as Bob's Bar. Space is full of not only scotch, but also scotch swag like lighters, signs, and glasses. The collection grew over the years. As a graduate student in the early 80s, Nyers earned a scholarship to study at Oxford, England. While in the United Kingdom, a mentor took Nyers and other students out for a drink at a local pub. I had a beer, then my mentor asked me if I had ever had scotch. I told him I couldn't drink it, but he said this was different. He said, I couldn't tell you what it was, but I loved it right away. Fast forward to 1993, when Nyers and Moan moved to Minnesota, he discovered a brew pub owned by an Englishman that also offered scotch. At the time, that was probably the best bar in the Midwest if you wanted to get a good single malt scotch. He was also friends with a man who used to do scotch tastings and wrote books about scotch, he said. It was after one of the tastings that Nyers said, I was hooked from that point on. I remember the first scotch we tasted was a Knockando 12-year-old scotch. It was the smoothest, most beautiful scotch I'd ever tasted in my life. Nyers would then frequent a couple of Twin Cities liquor stores, purchasing bottles of scotch they liked while continuing to frequent the brew pub, trying other scotches. Nyers came up with the goal. I decided I wanted to acquire a bottle of single malt scotch from every single active distillery, he said. Some distilleries I absolutely love, and I just started collecting their whiskey. Nyers said to enjoy a good scotch, one should first nose it, putting it in a nice glass, swirling it around, and sniffing it. What do you smell? What are the flavors coming out? Then take it to your mouth. Obviously, you drink it, then talk about how it finished. Is it harsh, soft? Does it finish long? According to Nyers, for scotch to be called scotch, there are three ingredients, water, grain, and yeast. No color or flavor is added. The scotch is then finished in an American oak cask. These are used casks that are purchased from the bourbon industry. Most of the time, they are taken apart in Kentucky, shipped across to Scotland, then charred and rebuilt as casks and filled with the first run of Scotch whiskey, he said. Some Scotches have a smoky finish from the peat found in the Scottish earth. Others may have a fruity, flowery finish, sometimes from casks that come from Portugal and have been used for port. Nyers' collection also includes single malt whiskies from other countries such as Ireland, Japan, India, Germany, France, Sweden, and Wales. They are single malt whiskies, but can't be called scotch because they aren't made in Scotland, Nyers said. While there are some rare bottles around the world that only a millionaire could afford, Nyers said he only has a couple bottles that he would consider rare, with neither of them fetching a millionaire's asking price. He said he couldn't put an estimated price on his collection, mainly for one reason. I would put a price on it if I could, but honestly, once a bottle is open, it's worthless. You can't sell an open bottle, he said. Man sentenced to 10 years in prison for a role in fatal Dubuque shooting. Kenneth D. Reed, 28, of Indianapolis, recently was sentenced in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after pleading guilty to second-degree robbery in the fatal shooting of Alani E. Burns, 31, of Dubuque. He was initially charged with first-degree murder and robbery. First-degree robbery, as a part of a plea deal approved by the court, the murder charge was dismissed and Reed pleaded guilty to the lesser-included robbery charge. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 16, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you for listening.